Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined by a crazy crew today because we have a really interesting podcast to do. We've got Matt on mic. We've got Cody and Bo and me. My son, Casey, from Alabama, is on the mic. Tracy and Karen are here. We're making them listen to this. Actually, they were curious. But we have a special show today. What is it about, Cody?
Well, remember when Tracy and Karen made us stop our sports podcast? We have finally had an opportunity to sneak one in here. The topic is, are you ready for some football?
That's right. This is our special edition NFL podcast about football and leadership. Now, I got to tell you where this comes from. And there, we have people listening from around the world, some who don't watch any American football because we realize it's not the only kind of football. And there's plenty of our listeners who don't watch the NFL. I think it's going to be interesting nonetheless, but we are really going to dive in here with Karen and Tracy's permission and really take apart the NFL this year, this upcoming season, based on what we think is going to happen based on the leadership on every team. Now, here's what happened. Going to bed one night, I was thinking, this is years ago, I thought, I'd like to evaluate all the NFL teams based on their coach, their quarterback, and then finally, a few of their other players who are leaders on the team. And I assigned them a 1 through 5 rating, blah, 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 and I listed it. Well, my son Casey, who's a junior at Auburn University, he actually put this in a spreadsheet, graphed it up, looked online, and said, well, what did you tell me, Casey, when we were golfing that day?
Well, yeah, we were golfing, and then after you added up all the three numbers, which was coach, quarterback, and then other positions, you came out with something that usually between like, it was between 5 to 13, like usually like 8.5. And it sounded just like the projected win totals for the season.
Right. So the betting totals coming out of Las Vegas, Casey said, well, these are pretty good indicators. And then we actually looked at it, and almost every one of our assessments based on leadership was within one or a half game or maybe two games of what Las Vegas was anticipating, with a few exceptions that we want to talk about. But let's first talk about what we mean by leadership. And what we mean is, are these people, whether it's a coach, a quarterback, or other players on the team, are they credible? Will people follow them? Which means they have to be competent and good at what they do, but they also have to be courageous enough to speak out. And all of us guys that are on this podcast, there's plenty of women out there who know this too, have our own opinions. We know what these folks do, and we follow our favorite teams and sometimes other teams as well. So we're going to go through and talk about some of the interesting findings that we had and which teams are going to do much better than people think and which teams are probably going to struggle more than people think.
It reminds me a little bit of the last episode that we did where we talked about, hey, leadership is not just about your knowledge. It is also about your humility. It's about your character. It's about your courage. And I heard somebody recently describe a quarterback, which we might get to, then they said, yeah, that's a YouTube quarterback. They have amazing highlights, but it's not translating into wins for their team. Their upside might be really, really high in terms of an ESPN, not your top 10 play, but it's not translating to what they do in the locker room and how they create a winning culture.
I'm excited about this podcast for a couple of reasons. One is because I think this is very much in line with all of the other hundreds of episodes we've done on At the Table, which is we talk about how much culture and leadership matter when it comes to winning on teams and in business. And what's so fun, the reason that sports is fascinating is because you have a scoreboard. Like in business, it's hard to track and you try to figure it out. But on a weekly basis, you can see how culture and leadership plays out on the field. And so that's going to be super fun. The second reason is this will literally be the only NFL information I get before my fantasy football draft this weekend. So if this does not help me win my league at the end of this, maybe we'll delete the episode. But I actually think it's going to give me some insights on who to look for.
Very good. So we'll keep that in mind as we go through this. Okay, so how should we start? Well, let's first say the team at the very top of the league, which team has got the highest leadership score, and break that down a little bit, and which team has the lowest? Okay. So at the high end, there's this team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay. So they have this coach, Nick Sirianni, who's been a fantastic coach the last 3 years. He's been building this team up, and they've been getting better and better, and he really understands his players. He builds a bunch of coaches around him. So we rated him. What did we give him, Casey, on our scale?
We gave him a 4.
So a 4 out of 5. Okay, that's close to the top. We had 3 coaches that got 5 perfect ratings on leadership. Now, then they have a quarterback named Jalen Hurts. Now, I have to tell you guys something. I have a few friends that are coaches in the NFL, and I emailed one of them before the NFL draft 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and I said, don't take the quarterback everybody's saying you're going to take. Take this guy, Jalen Hurts, in the second round because he's a coach's son, and he transferred to another school and had to make it work, and he's a really hardworking guy, and I think he's going to be great. Well, as it turned out, he almost won the Super Bowl last year, and we rated him a 4 also, so that's at up to 8. Then, though, we looked at the other players on their team, and the Philadelphia Eagles have, well, who are some of their players, Casey? They lost a few players, but they have so many leaders on that team, and you know these guys better than I do.
Yeah, so, I mean, they got a lot of returning captains, like Jason Kelsey, who's just seems like a great guy. Lane Johnson, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, and Darius Slay, who are all veterans. And then when you add in a bunch of young guys that they can teach, who are mostly from Georgia, and they're all dogs in that sense too. But yeah, it just seems like a great dynamic between them.
They have an extraordinary number of captains all over the field. And of leaders. And so we gave them a 5. So 5, 4, and 4 is 13. That is the highest in the league. Now, Vegas says they're going to win 10 and a half games this year. If they don't win 12 games, I'll be shocked. And I'm not doing this for betting purposes because I don't really bet on sports, but this team is going to overperform precisely because they have too many leaders on that team that will not let them under.
One of the people that stands out to me from that team is, you already mentioned him, Jason Kelsey, who's the center. And for folks who are not big fans of football, the center is the person who hikes the ball to the quarterback. And the rules of the NFL are that person's not allowed to get the ball back. And so I think it's such a great picture that one of the leaders on the team is somebody who, other than hiking the ball, doesn't touch the ball. There's very, very few highlights that highlight Jason Kelsey. He's never going to, you know, get a catch a pass in the end zone. He's not going to spike a ball. He's not going to have a big touchdown dance. He's about other people. And yet, he's helping create this culture on the Eagles by being kind of in the trenches, doing the hard work for his team. And everybody around the league knows he's a leader.
And the center on a team is kind of like the goalie in lacrosse or the catcher in baseball. They kind of have to know what's going on and be really smart and aware and kind of lead everybody else.
And you know, Pat, what I love about the system that you and Casey put together here is like, what's so interesting is some of these dynamics change. Like, they already had some of those older veteran leaders a couple years ago, and they had Carson Wentz as a quarterback, which you would give a lower rating to, not just in a skill position, but in terms of leadership. And so when you, like, it's sort of like isolating the element that moves the needle is like you dropped in a higher number leader, quality leader at the quarterback position, and they almost went to the Super Bowl. So I love that, like, you can kind of even see, like, when a coach changes in an organization, that shifts the entire culture of that team and the trajectory of that team. So as you like tease this out, it's really fun to, the NFL is a perfect microcosm of why this matters at all of these levels.
Exactly. And that talent is not everything. Measurables are not everything. The intangibility or the intangible of leadership really makes a difference on the field. Karen just wrote me a great question. That is, how many games do they play in a season? Well, for the second year in a row, they're playing more games than ever, 17 games. So the Eagles got a 13. It says they're going to win 13 games and lose 4. They may even surpass that. Now let's go to the other end of the scale. And the Las Vegas Raiders, if you didn't know, they used to be the Oakland Raiders. They used to be the Los Angeles Raiders. Now they're the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, the people in Las Vegas think they're going to win, Las Vegas, the bettors, think they're going to win 7.5 games. But we have a very, very low rating on them. They have a coach who has struggled in his career as a head coach and is not known. He's kind of on the hot seat and not known to be a great leader, more of a technician. They just traded for a player from another team who's a pretty good quarterback named Jimmy Garoppolo, but he has never been a leader on the teams he's played on. And we have some insights. We would go to the games at the 49ers, and he was never the guy that the other players were looking to for leadership. When he was on the sideline, he was kind of horsing around or laughing. They'd be up by a touchdown, and he didn't seem all that serious. He's not a great leader. And then their team has been decimated of veterans. They have like 1 or 2 guys that would be considered veteran leaders. So we rated them at a 5.5. And I think that is probably even more. I don't think they're going to win 5 games this year. And Las Vegas, the odds makers are saying they're going to win 7.5, but we are going to downgrade them even from that.
Okay, so Pat, Casey, I'd love for you to weigh into this. If you were consulting to the Oakland Raiders franchise and they said, what's one change based on your formula that we should make that would lead to the greatest increase in wins? What would be the change that you would make?
Well, I'd say in the offseason, make sure you're keeping players that are credible, that are going to keep other guys in line. And think about when you're drafting. I was on a podcast yesterday and I heard these guys tell me that there was some team in the NFL, I don't know which one it is, but when they drafted players out of college, they only wanted guys who were team captains. So you have to have this stuff in mind. And too often in sports, people just say, how fast is the guy? What was his 40? How much can he lift? And it's like, no, if the guy can't lead, then that's, especially in a role that it requires that, that's really going to hurt you on the field. And we see it year in and year out.
You know, what's so interesting, I love your question, Bo, because it's like, some of this is diagnostic. If you look at it, you're like, oh, okay, we have a strong coach. We got a 4 or something like that. But in the case of the Raiders, Pat, which I love this, they misdiagnosed their problem. They have the same culture and the same coach, and they thought our quarterback's the problem. So they got rid of Derek Carr, who I see you gave a higher even leadership rating to him. He's now with the Saints, and they picked up Jimmy Garoppolo, who has a lower leadership. So they sort of misdiagnosed the problem. And what they could have done is looked at this as a diagnostic tool and said, oh, actually, our quarterback has some leadership skills. We kind of need to upgrade the coach and the other veterans or leadership around him. And that might have moved the needle even more.
I think you're exactly right, Cody. And I hadn't really thought of that because I'm going through all these teams, but they made the wrong decision and they're going to pay for it this year. I mean, they're going to be awful. They really are going to be awful. Now, Matt and Casey, let's take our favorite team, our team here, the San Francisco 49ers, because this is a really interesting assessment of that team. Because many people think they're going to go to or win the Super Bowl this year. I don't really think so, actually, but they could. But take us through how we evaluated their coach, quarterback, and players.
Actually, before we go into that, I just want to say one thing about the Raiders quarterback situation. Derek Carr was also a guy that loved being a Raider. He was so hyped to be a Raider. He thought he was going to spend his whole career there. And I feel like he has a similar skill ceiling to Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, neither of them are the best quarterback in the league skill-wise, technically. But Derek Carr loved being a Raider. And so I agree with the assessment of them kind of downgrading in terms of their leadership capabilities.
Yeah, and with that, I think with that leadership and kind of like more of a team mindset comes with, like, loyalty comes with that. And like you said, like, they have a lot of new guys. It kind of reminds me of like being on like a travel team for lacrosse or something for like a tournament. Like, you can have like a lot of talent, but as long as the guys don't know each other and it's more of a being on a new team, it's like more thinking of yourself, then like you just don't mesh well. And it's like we're like underperforming all the time.
Yeah, it's so amazing when players stay with a team for a long time. There's cohesiveness, there's credibility, and I think, you know, in this world of fantasy football where we're constantly trading, we love the trades. We kind of don't understand that you just don't take a piece and put it on another team and have it fit right away. It's the same in business, you know what I mean? A person works in a certain environment, it's hard to make that work someplace else. Okay, let's talk about the 49ers though, because they have a coach who's supposed to, is like a brainy guy who's supposed to be, everybody says he's the most brilliant coach. Kyle Shanahan is his name. And I just think he's a smart guy. And I think he's good at like devising the offense. I don't think he's a good leader. And I could probably get like arrested in the San Francisco Bay Area for saying that. But why did we not give him a great leadership ranking there?
Well, he's not very vocal. I mean, you can see it on TV, like if they ever cut to the sidelines, it's like he's hiding behind his play sheet. He's as much of an offensive guru as he is. He's not rallying as much as everyone thinks.
He will go an entire game and not talk to a player during the entire game on the sidelines. He's walking up and down the field on his headset, talking to somebody in the booth, looking at his playbook, trying to figure out what play to call next. What do you think, Matt? Do you buy into that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we went to a couple games last year and that seemed to be the case at every single one of them. If you didn't know football and you just knew what the positions were and you didn't know the Niners at all and you looked at our sideline, you would probably think over the last couple of years that our defensive coordinator was our head coach. Like when we had Saleh, I forget who was our D coordinator last year, but Shanahan looks like he would be a position coach and be helping drawing up plays and all that. because he is just looking at his clipboard all the time.
I love your guys' assessment of Shanahan in the sense that, like, we just did an episode on what leadership looks like. It's like the wisdom piece of this. He has the knowledge, like as an offensive coordinator, he has the knowledge to run that team, but it requires this humility and courage. And it doesn't mean that every leader has to be the rah-rah galvanizing like out front. But when you're in that role, the team expects you to have some level of emotional investment in the success of the team. And it's not an intellectual pursuit. Like the same is true at a company. If a leader of the organization intellectually knows the strategy and how to win, but can't lead the team into that or cast vision. And it's, again, it's not a, you know, we talk about there are tons of different types of leaders of how they go about that, but there is an expectation for some level of investment emotionally, especially on the football field.
And he does not seem emotionally invested at all. Matt?
Yeah, if you took, I always think about the Under Armour All-American game, kind of, Casey, it's kind of the same point you were talking about, where you take a bunch of guys that have never played together and you put them on the field together for one game. And I like comparing Kyle Shanahan with someone like Dan Campbell. If you put Kyle Shanahan up there, he's going to draw up plays and it's going to be technically and it's going to make sense. But the team that has a coach like Dan Campbell, who's in their face and yelling and getting them hyped up to be there, is probably going to have an edge over the team that's technically sound.
And he's the coach of the Detroit Lions, and he is the most emotionally invested. When the players have to do push-ups, he does them with them. And he's not that young anymore, but he is like, and they love this guy, and he motivates the crap out of them. And even a couple in the last few years when they had not very good players, they always were in almost every game. They were overachieving, and this year it looks like they're going to actually be very good.
And that reminds me of, in terms of like, kind of a similar situation to Kyle Shanahan was, I've been watching Hard Knocks, and so Nathaniel Hackett was the Broncos head coach last year, did not do well. And from the interviews I saw, he looked like he didn't know what he was doing almost. But then he's now the Jets offensive coordinator, like working with like the quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers. And in terms of working genius, it's so much more of like he has the like the E quality and like helping other people and being more like personal with them. And like, especially compared to last year, it seems like he's like totally in his element and like killing it. So it's definitely just like how you're built in terms of either rallying people or helping specific people, which Shanahan seems more like that to me, like the guy to like just talk to the quarterbacks like one-on-one.
That's right. That's right. And you said E, that's that enablement. He's like a helper and all this. But when he was in a leadership role last year and he tried to do it that way, not that you can't be an enabler, but he did not step up and do the other things. And they really, but he seems like a human, different human being this year. I was watching that show too. It's really interesting to see.
Yeah, football is so much more than a chess game. It's so much more than just the decisions you make. It's leading people. And every football team is going to have injuries. Almost every football team probably is going to have losses that hurt. Right, you're going to be embarrassed on national television, and you need that emotive leader who can keep people connected and engaged as a coach.
So, Pat, I'm looking at your sheet here. I love what you and Casey put together. It's fun to see the graph here. So, I think it's interesting to talk about these three coaches that you guys gave fives to, and then I see that there's not a single quarterback that got your highest rating as a five. So, I'd love to like look at those, zoom into those three coaches. And say, what was it about them that made you, that feels like they're the best coaches, the best leaders in the NBA or in the NFL?
You know what I love about this is that they're all different too.
Yeah.
Like the one guy is named Mike Tomlin. He's the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, one thing about these guys, they've been in their teams for a while. They have a lot of credibility and people really listen to them. Mike Tomlin is a player's coach. He's out there with the players. He's like really, really in there and intense. And even when they have no talent, they always make the playoffs and they always overperform. And it's really because of him. And then we have another guy, the coach of the Chiefs, Andy Reid, who is like this big, chubby, jovial guy who likes to have fun and joke around. And he's much more laid back and much more creative and tries different things. And then the other five, let me see on the list here. Who is the other five?
Ravens. It's Harbaugh with the Ravens.
John Harbaugh. And I'd say he's kind of in the middle. He's like an adult supervision guy, a player's guy, but he's really mature. And when they have terrible things happen, like everybody gets hurt, he finds a way to make them do their best. one coach should not look like the next and should not look like the next. Just like one CEO isn't going to look like every other CEO. There's different ways because of your working genius, because of the relationship you have with the people on your team. And it's fascinating to watch three different coaches, perfect scores, very different personalities.
Well, and a thing with those five ratings in comparison to no quarterbacks getting the fives is the credibility part of it, how those guys have been in the league for a while. They're proven. And just the closest thing to the perfect quarterback right now is obviously, or even in terms of leadership, is Mahomes, especially after like I watched the quarterback show and he seems like the guy.
Much more of a leader than people might realize. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, it's just there's no more, the Peyton Mannings in the league are gone. And it's just that those quarterbacks are like, the good quarterbacks are way younger now.
Yeah, Tom Brady is gone. Aaron Rodgers is kind of an iffy, but he's now with a new team for the first time in his career. So he's going to be in a different situation. It remains to be seen. Still highly rated. But that's the other thing. You can take a leader out of one situation, put him in a different one. And if that environment doesn't support them, like you were saying, Cody, with the Raiders, then it's a different ballgame.
It is also interesting that there is a direct correlation to their tenure at these organizations. So like all three of those five, those leaders, those coaches that scored five have been at those organizations for a very long time. You know, so it's sort of interesting because one, it indicates that even the NFL organizations identified in some way that these are the leaders that are worth keeping around. You know, there's the coaches that got lower scores are moved around like a carousel to another team. Well, oh, we'll try it over here and see if you have more success. So there is something where they're feeling it in their intuition of like, this is a coach that is worth keeping around for a long time. But I think it also speaks to the other side, like the chicken or the egg, is it takes a while to build that level of leadership. And when you're changing leaders all the time, whether it's in business or on teams like this, there's something to be said for Mike Tomlin having been with the Steelers for a very long time that actually helped him become the leader that he is.
Absolutely. And continuity is a good thing if they're strong.
One of the things I was going to ask you about, and I think it's related to that, Cody, is all the coaches that got fives are also connected to great ownership. The Chiefs are owned by the Hunt family, a fantastic family, stable family. Same thing with the Steelers and the Ravens. They have stability of ownership, which I think the connection there is coaches that get moved around a lot are getting moved by somebody, right? And they're often getting moved by an impatient owner who's not willing to trust the process or stick with them if they have a 5-9 or, you know, a season where they're below 500. So I think ownership is a big part of that too.
That's a great point. I hadn't even thought about that. Those three teams all have really strong owners. And another team that has interesting ownership is the Dallas Cowboys. And he's the only owner that's also the general manager. He has a press conference after the games. Like he kind of meddles and all that. And so their team has their biggest problem. They have a strong quarterback, really strong other players, but their coach is not seen as a strong leader. And I've talked to a few people in the world of sports, and they said it's really tough to be a strong leader as a coach when you play for that owner. So that's fascinating. Now, here's another team, Bo. I think a team that you're familiar with as well is the Broncos this year. Now, this is a leadership case study, right? So the Broncos have a quarterback named Russell Wilson, Casey's hero when he was a little boy. And not anymore. Russell Wilson, people thought was a great leader. Now, he got traded for so much to go to the Broncos last year, and he just did horrible. And as it turned out, it exposed the fact he was kind of big on his own ego. He brought his own entourage. He had an office on a different floor from the other players. They'd have to like check in with his assistant if they wanted to talk to him. And it exposed some things that we had heard in the past where he really wasn't that great a leader. He just knew how to act like one. He was a little bit of a skillful politician, using our language. And now, so what did the Broncos do? They went out and actually acquired a coach, and they had to give up draft picks for him. They traded essentially for a coach who's known to be a really strong leader. His name is Sean Payton. And it's going to be really interesting to see how quickly that coach's influence impacts the play on the field this year.
That's interesting, Pat, because like, so you assign these grades, and based on, because I agree with you, I think you pegged sort of Russell Wilson's, the way he is perceived by his team, is he's not really that leader. But how much are these intertwined? So you're saying Sean Payton goes here. Do you think he can raise Russell Wilson's number from a 2.5 to a 4? Is that like possible? If you're a mediocre leader and you're around better leaders, is that what you think might happen in that experiment? Or is it sort of like they're hosed until they find another leader at the quarterback position that will elevate that entire score?
No, I think they do have an impact. I think they do. Now, the other thing is he might replace him with a different quarterback, but it's possible that if Russell Wilson has the humility and the drive to do it, the confidence of a strong coach may very well raise his score as well. And frankly, it's going to raise up a lot of other people on the team if the coach doesn't have such a big ego where he thinks he has to be the only leader on the field. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see. I think the guy is actually thinking about playing another quarterback, which would be fascinating because he would be the most expensive backup quarterback ever, Russell Wilson would be.
We're kind of working this out live. I'm curious your response to this. Related to Working Genius, I wonder how the coach and quarterback can work together in their strengths. You mentioned Dan Campbell, Detroit Lions coach, is really, really emotive. And Dan Campbell, their coach, is really emotive. And Jared Goff is not. And that might work. Their coach really said all those words wrong. But he's not, but that might work because one person who's the galvanizer who can get out there and lead the team, it might be okay that there's not two of them. But if you were missing that between one of your leadership roles, it would be a massive, massive gap.
Maybe that, and I think that's a great point. And that's a Working Genius kind of thing, right? Like some coaches are not galvanizers, but they have to have other people around them that are. And I think on the 49ers, I think the reason why it works for Kyle Shanahan and they're a pretty good team is because even though he's not, and I think he should do it more, there are other people on the team doing it for him. I hope he appreciates them and encourages them to do that, because if he's not, then they're going to be at risk if one of those guys gets hurt.
Something we talk about that translates from sports to business, when you talk about Russell Wilson getting paid this massive quarterback, you know, salary, the highest contract in the league, and then you talk about his coach thinking he might play another player. We talk about this in business all the time, how often we feel pot committed to these decisions that we've made, and especially when there's a number attached to it. Like if you have the humility and the ability to really accurately assess what's wrong, even if you're on a team or, you know, in the NFL or at your office, if you have the accuracy to say, hey, this is a problem, and even though we've sunk millions of dollars into this, it's better for us to call a spade and move on than it is for us to act like we have to roll this person out there every week because we paid them a big salary.
I just realized that pot committed is from poker, right?
Yeah.
Like if you put money in the pot, right? It's the sunk cost fallacy, which says, well, we've invested so much in this player, he's not very good, but we have to use him. Yeah, it takes a pretty strong leader as a coach to go, nope, we're not going to do that.
So, Casey, you've spent a lot of time in the data, looking at stories. It sounds like you track the NFL a lot. If you were to pick one team based on what you've seen that you would say, I'm going to bet, I know we're not bettors, but if I'm going to bet that they win more games than everybody thinks they will, which team would that be?
You know what? Well, the thing that sticks out is, like we said about the five coaches, and I mean, Mike Tomlin every year, like no one ever thinks the Steelers are going to be like as good as they are. And then they somehow make the playoffs and no one really knows why. He's not as much in the spotlight as other coaches. Like he's a little in the background, but yeah, I think he just has such an impact because I mean, I was looking at the numbers and the Steelers have the biggest contrast from coach to quarterback. We have Tomlin as a 5 and Kenny Pickett, their starter, as a 2. Which is really interesting how you were saying like one contributes to the other. Like Kenny Pickett, like not as proven, not as vocal, but still they manage to always do pretty good every year.
That is the team that has the biggest bump from what Las Vegas is saying, what we're going to say. And you know what's happening? We're 2 weeks into the preseason and this kid Pickett is already showing signs of leadership in his second year. He's not as fast. He doesn't have as big of an arm. He has small hands, which they always criticize, but already he's getting more. And if he steps up as a leader, that team is going to be outstanding this year. As a leader, I don't care if his arm strength doesn't improve or anything else. If he can be credible on the field, they're going to be a force. All right. Well, I think That should be enough. Cody, do you think you're ready for your fantasy football draft?
Yeah, I'm going to use this sheet and just pick all of the players on these top five teams. So thank
you.
Just
draft Mike Tomlin. You can do it.
Yeah, there should be a coach draft where you get the number of wins in that too. All righty. Karen, relatively interesting. Really interesting, she says. All right, Tracy?
Yeah, can I just make an obvious statement? And that is that there are so many similarities to business. I think this is just a very public display of business. And if we were to take any other industry, we could use a similar model to evaluate their success or organizational health, I suppose. So it's super interesting to me.
Yeah, and like business, like if you look at what the Wall Street Journal, the Harvard Business Review, or business schools look at, it's similar like journalists who cover football. They don't really do the best analysis. It's hard to go into the softer things like just the leadership. So they tend to look at market share and strength of arm and speed and cash in the bank. And they look at all these measurables, but it's really the intangibles that make a difference. And it's true in football. It's true in a church, a school, a company, or any other organization.
It'd be fun to see somebody do the data on, okay, how many people does the quarterback connect with on the sideline? That should be a data point. And I bet it would be tied to wins. Or how many of the staff of a coach are retained year after year? I bet that would also, over the course of time, lead to more wins. And you're totally right. People like to talk about yards after the catch and blah, blah, blah. And long term, it's these cultural things that really can make a difference in business and in sports.
Yep. And really, ownership makes a big difference here too, which you raised, Bo. All righty. Hey, what are we going to do? What's our unpaid advertisement?
I think it's up to you today.
Oh, it is. Well, Casey, I'm going to say it's the Auburn Tigers football team, right? Casey's big, really excited for their football team this year, War Eagles. So we're going to make them the unpaid advertisement. There's a lot of people in Auburn, Alabama that are going to like that. Thanks for humoring us, Tracy and Karen and everybody else. And we hope you enjoyed this, especially if you're an NFL fan. We'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.